The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You know, it's been an awesome year. And, you know, listening to the testimonies this morning, most of them especially coming from Zoe, such an exciting time. Amen. You know, when I, you know, the first testimony was talking about giving, you know, how the Lord prompted his heart. And, you know, when you hear this kind of testimony, the first thing this should let you know is that there is reward in obedience. Are you following me? There's reward. It's not just because it's connected to money. When you obey instructions and promptings that God brings to your heart and your spirit, there is massive reward for it. And so do not be scared when God instructs your heart that way. Are you following me? There's reward for that. And then we saw how, you know, there was a job in less than 1 week. And even money that had been lost was recovered. Hallelujah. And you know why sometimes I come up and emphasize this testimony? That I'm saying this to you, maybe to the people who are sharing the testimonies. The purpose of these testimonies when we share them is not just to inform you what is happening. It should do something to you. Every session in church is to bless you. The way you hear this, it should do something to you. It should encourage you that whatever instruction God has given you to obey, that there is a supply coming soon. Are you guys following me this morning? And the second test, I was talking about insomnia. And if you remember very well at Zoe, when I ministered to that young man, I don't remember, there was a young man that had insomnia, said he has not slept for months. And then I didn't know, but you know, that night I asked him, I said, it's not only insomnia you have. Your blood pressure is high. He said, yes, blood pressure has been high and gone to the hospital. You know, they skipped a part of that testimony. You know, at the time, before Zoe, he sleeps, before he sleeps at all, he has to take, what is it called? Sleeping pills. You know, to be able to sleep. You know, this sleep that we are begging you not to sleep. Can you imagine that? But he has to take sleeping pills to sleep and all of that. And, you know, I'm happy the testimony is coming now. Because if he had just testified the next day after Zoe, we will say, how are you sure? But for after 2 weeks plus, person is saying, sleep has been dealing with him. And that's God's mighty power. People go to therapy and do all of that to deal with insomnia. But the power of God can fix everything. And that's to tell you that you are not supposed to end this year sick. Are you following me? And if you're listening to me this morning and you have any case with insomnia, you know, get ready. You're going to sleep a lot from now. Just put some control around you. Amen. I said amen. If you have an issue with insomnia, you're going to sleep a lot. Say amen. Glory to God. Whenever people tell me they've not slept for a long time, I really don't understand it. Or maybe I do, but God's power is working. Amen. So this morning, no room to the flesh. No room to the flesh. Hallelujah. This is not the kind of topic you expect in the month of December. But that's the best time for you to listen to it. No room to the flesh. So if you are here on Thursday, we took this teaching a step further. Many steps further on Thursday. How that you are not supposed to let the flesh dominate. You know, the Bible tells us that the spirit lusteth after the flesh. And the flesh lusteth after the spirit. I've explained this many times. The spirit lusteth after the flesh. Let me get that verse. The spirit lusteth after the flesh. And the flesh, that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusted against, not after, lusted against the spirit, and the spirit lusted against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now give me an NLT of that verse. New Living Translation. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. So that thing I showed you that day, that is a fight. Your human nature, the sinful nature, and then there is the spirit. So every time there is that constant battle, and you must know how to win that battle. And that's what I've been trying to show you all the while. Because if you allow the flesh, it will drive you very far. If you allow the spirit, it will drive you very far. There is actually no limit to how far you can go when you allow the spirit to allow the flesh. For instance, there are many things you never knew you could do in your walk with God. But that's because you've not allowed the spirit of God. When you allow the spirit, it can take you so far that you begin to shock yourself. You begin to, you know, exhibit some conduct you never knew that you had. Same thing with the flesh. If you let the flesh will lead you to do many terrible things. So much so, you know, I was listening to my pastor yesterday on this same subject. Because coincidentally, if you will say, he gave an admonition on this same subject the 1st of December. About not giving room to the flesh. Just about a 40-something minute admonition. And he said something very powerful. You know, just read what I'm saying. Actually, there are some amazing, terrible sins you can commit. You just don't know you can commit them. If you let the flesh, it will drive you very far. There is no limit to how far you can go in sin if you allow the flesh. There's no limit. And the way he put it, he said, even the best of us can commit the worst of sins if we let the flesh take over. The most spiritual of us, if we allow the flesh and we are not checking these things, we can go as far as we can go. And that's why sometimes when you see people make mistakes, sometimes you wonder, is that one even a Christian? Is he even a man of God? No, sometimes they are. If not many times, or most times they are. Just that when you let the flesh, it will drive you very far. And when you see some of those mistakes in the life of people, it shouldn't just throw you into criticism. It should let you know that if you still allow the flesh, you too can go that far. I feel like I'm talking about, friends. If you let the flesh, even you, that's why I never say there are things like that I can never do. That's actually not true. Are you following me? The Bible calls it, Galatians chapter 5 verse 19, the works of the flesh. He mentioned in that same verse, flow, he mentioned witchcraft. He mentioned adultery. He mentioned fornication. He mentioned lasciviousness. So any of these things you are committing, all of them are coming from the same source. What is the source? The flesh. So if the flesh could get you to do one, if you let him, he can get you to flow in all of them. Like you flow in things of the spirit. Glory to God. Just like when we talk about the fruit of the spirit. I've explained to you, the fruit of the spirit is just love. You know, I've answered that, right? It's love. But then when you're walking in love, you will display peace, you display joy, goodness, faith, all of those things. It's one package. That's how the works of the flesh is. So if you keep yielding to the flesh, it can take you to places you never knew you could get. Amazingly. And that's why you must not give room to the flesh. And I began to show you how you do that from the first day. And I want to say that again. James chapter 1, 14 and 15. 13 tells us, let no man say when I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So first of all, he shows you God does not tempt anybody. However, I like doing this every day. However, there is a tempter. That tempter is the devil. It's Satan. But then Satan is not going to tempt you from heaven. He uses something, uses your lust. That's verse 14 now. It's how are people tempted? They are lust. And I've showed you that lust is desire. So he uses lust. That's desire. And it mustn't be desire for something bad. It might even be desire for something good. The devil will now seize that desire. And then allow the desire in verse 15 to conceive. Now when that desire conceives, it allows you to conceive. When that desire conceives, it will now bring forth sin. So you see, this is the order that is lust, which is desire, then there is conception, then there is sin. And so I'm trying to show you, if you don't want it, of course, remember, sin is not the end point, right? What's the end point? Death. So if you don't, I don't have time in this series. I wish you had one more day. But if we do, I'm going to show you something. Because what I'm trying to show you is how to stop it here. How to stop it from getting here. But if I have more time, I will still show you how, if by chance you've gotten here, how do we stop it from getting here? Because this is the end point. I feel what I'm saying. Where there is a multitude of sin. That I explained that to you the first day. When there is now a lifestyle of sin, where you, in fact, conscience dead, everything. You can just, in fact, from one sin to another, it just happened. You shouldn't get there. But then, how do we stop it from getting to this point of sin? First is, watch out for, I've said it before, just refresh your mind. Watch out for the things that feed your lusts unnecessarily. Watch out for the things that feed that desire unnecessarily. Suddenly you have a desire to tell more lies or to steal. And where did that desire come from? Locate where it is coming from and shut it down from there. Because if you don't shut it down from there, what is happening is that you are feeding it. You feed it to a point that it conceives. Are you following me? Watch out for the things that what feeds it. It could be a human being. It could be a friend. It could be a movie that keeps feeding that desire. It could be a series of activity. It could be a conversation you have. But something is feeding that desire. Someone like you that have never considered exam malpractice from your secondary school till now, suddenly you are giving it a thought. Something is feeding that desire. Something is feeding it and is making it look good to you. Someone is talking to you. Someone is saying to you, what's the, I beg, this is your future. If you fail, I beg, just pass. Nobody cares to know how you pass. Something is feeding your desire. And so you must locate that thing and cut it off. So that you don't keep empowering something. Are you following me, friends? Something is feeding that passion for adultery. And sometimes what is feeding it may be how do I put this now? An ungodly conversation, an ungodly friendship. You know, there are certain friendships that are ungodly, not because you are committing sin. It's just that the friendship is ungodly. I can give you an example. Okay? You there is a guy in your life or a lady in your life. You are not planning to have a relationship with a person because you shouldn't have a relationship with the person. But then you guys talk and talk through the night and all of that. Now, you know there's not going to be a relationship. But you might even be married. Or you might be in a relationship. But you guys keep talking. That sin is not committed any sin. But it's tending towards ungodliness. That sin is what is making you compare your husband or your wife. So that when something now goes wrong, maybe your husband was meant to talk in a particular way or your wife and he or she did not talk that way, you now say, if it is Maxwell now, look at what, something is feeding that stuff. So you've not committed any sin, but you are warming up for it. And if you don't call that sin off early, it's going to produce adultery. So let nobody say, I cannot do it. If I say you cannot do it, let it be because you believe that you're not going to let that thing conceive. The most foolish thing to do is to put your hand into fire and say, everybody, please watch me, I won't get burnt. That's the most foolish thing to do. You cannot take fire into your bosom and say, hello guys, watch, you will get burnt. For instance, that's what people do when they watch pornography. Say, I just watch it, it doesn't do anything to me. In fact, that statement you are making means it has done many things to you. In fact, it's at the level of death. Now, for you to say it doesn't do anything, it means it has finished you completely. It means you are at the point where you watch, you don't even feel bad. You have gone far. You have gone far. You can't expose yourself to danger all the time. What is happening is that you are feeding a certain lust. And if you are sincere to yourself, you can remember certain mistakes you've made and how you made them. You know, I heard something, you know, listening to my dad yesterday. He said, no believer sins accidentally. Every believer sins by choice in one way or the other. The sins you are committing or you committed was your choice in one way or the other. Because somehow that thing kept coming, you kept allowing it. You kept allowing it. Amen. So you find out the source and shut it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Every appearance of evil. Abstain from it. Abstain from it. Abstain from it. That's why one of the ways to stay, for instance, sexually pure. One of the ways sexually pure is, before we even start talking about the thoughts devil sends to your heart, one of the major ways sexually pure are the boundaries you put around your life. Boundaries you put around your life. I've always said this to you. Boundaries will save you where explanations cannot. Boundaries you put around your life. People you don't visit. People that don't visit you. A lady will not visit me alone. A guy, I'm not going to. All those boundaries are the things that will help you. What you are doing is that you are shutting down the access road to that temptation. Shutting it down. Give me Amplified Classic of this verse. Abstain from evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof from it. In whatever way or whatever kind it may be. Keep aloof from it. So if you separate yourself from some of those things, if you stop taking those calls you've been taking, if you block that number that has been calling you, if you shut down that site you've been visiting, if you stop following that brother you're following on TikTok, if you block that page on Instagram, maybe you will live a more holy life. But no, you will not do it. Because you want to enjoy your life. You want to eat your cake and have it. Glory to God. Yeah. You want to. There's a way I manage it. You don't actually find out that it is managing you. You don't know I'm managing it already. It's dealing with your life. So shut down. Find out those things. And it's good we are giving this admonition at the end of the year. A new year is about to come. What are the things you are going to stay away from next year? Start making the choices now and start acting on it now. Don't say, okay, sir, thank you, sir. I'll put it as my new resolution. Start now. Because this way is burning in your heart and it's going to be burning like that January 1st. Start now. Start shutting down those influences. Are you following me, friends? So December is coming. December has come. Christmas is coming. As you travel, there are places you shouldn't go. There are parties they hold in the village, which may not be bad in themselves. But you shouldn't go there. Because it's going to expose your mind to things you never thought of. It's going to awaken a hidden desire inside of you. I'm telling you the truth. Having this one, just go there. What I said, just want to go and watch. I'm not saying you can't go have fun and all of that. But please. Please, there are some of you that have never tasted alcohol from January till now. December has come. They're having this group, age group, whatever, you appear there. Although, you know, you now drink in some ways. First of all, you start justifying it by saying it's not a really alcoholic. It's when they carry you home. And then you come back feeling messed up. I thought I've conquered this. You've actually conquered it. You just exposed yourself. Are you following me, friends? So on Thursday, I went further to show you how you, the fact that even though we're trying to shut down this thing from conceiving, there are some things, and this way we're going to talk on Thursday, you actually cannot totally control what has access to your mind. That's where we started on Thursday. You can't totally control what will access your mind. You can't. Because the gates to your mind are your ears, your eyes, and then your skin. So what you hear, what you see, and what you feel. You can't totally control that. You can control it to an extent. That's what you handled with the first point. But there, you can't totally control it. For instance, you can say, I'm not going to go and watch porn. Good stuff. But you can't change the fact that There is pornography on the road when you are walking. Have you not seen pornography? Go to anywhere this evening, go to any shopping mall this evening, there is pornography. People are naked all over the place. And whether you want or not, you are going to see them. Are you getting the point? There is indecency all over the place. You might say, I'm not going to go on Facebook to go and watch all those boys I used to do Dorime. I used to ignite my passion to do crime. But get on the street. You see those boys, small boys, 21, 20. You see the kind of cars they are driving and how they are spending the money. Even you know they stole it. But then, it's there in your heart. So you can't totally shut down what God has said to your mind. The question now is, what do you do? You cannot control everything that enters your mind, but you can control what stays. That's what we want Thursday. You can't possibly stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop the bird from perching on your head and building its nest on your head. Are you following the point? And so you cannot say, oh, no bird is going to fly over my head. Even as we are walking, a bird is going to fly over. You can't stop the bird. But then when the bird now perches and begins to build house, this is where you can now walk. And we're looking at it on Thursday. When you find the negative thoughts jump to your mind, you must take a stand. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 12, verse 23, it said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it. NLT, actually, in translation, you know, says, guard your heart, your mind. Proverbs 4, verse 23. He said, for it controls, it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so the things you are going to do, whether you are going to lie, whether you are going to steal, it comes from your mind. So when those thoughts are launched into your heart, what do you do with them? Do you take them and begin to meditate upon them? Because we're looking on Thursday about on the power of meditation. You don't meditate on those things. How things stay in your mind is by the principle of meditation, whether good or bad. For instance, the things I'm sharing with you now, you can live here now and forget them. But then if you go home and begin to turn those things over in your mind, go lie down, meditate on them, think on them, you find out they're going to stay. Even with your academic book, sometimes after reading your academic book, you go lie down while you're thinking about what you read. Do you do that? You're thinking, sometimes you're trying to rehearse them in your head. The law of this, the law of that. You're just trying to go over. What you're doing is that you are meditating over what you've read. So it doesn't slip away. And sometimes some of you, when you're done cramming, few minutes to exam as you enter, you don't want to talk to anybody. What are you doing? You are trying to meditate over those things you've crammed. They greet them. But something is telling you that if you talk, it will fly away. You are practicing meditation. And that's how those things stay. Just that some of you just stay till you write it. Once you are able to pen it down. You know, sometimes we are all guilty. So, because sometimes I just, after much cramming like this, if I enter the hall, the first thing I do is to turn the pocket of question paper and write those things. Because you self know that you cram this thing. So you just write it, or you use one or two things to illustrate so that you don't forget it. You start writing the exam. You know, I'm trying to say, you meditate on those things that you've read. And that's what all of us practice. Now, that's the same way when an evil thought comes. What if you just go and look at those guys, see how they chop money? You've seen them. Now, you now stay and begin to turn it over in your mind. It's true, man. Just go home like this December. Not even anything to go home with. All these guys who just come back from Lagos, they've been intimidating someone. Now, you know what is happening? You are meditating. You are meditating. I follow what I'm saying. I've been intimidating someone. All these fine cars. If I go, I'm not even come out from my house. I just stay inside the house. But we never make money, they come up for house. Oh God, I'm prophesying, I think. I'll just stay. You know, the point is, you are turning it over. Gradually, the devil is trying to convince you. Now, I tell you something different. You just saw those things and say, well, thank God for them. They will be fine and let it go. If it tries to take hold of your mind, deliberately, because what I said on Thursday is, whether you
practice meditation deliberately or not, you are meditating on something. I'm just trying to ask you to choose what to meditate on. Whether you learn this thing or not, there is something you're meditating on. Your mind never just stays. So when those things now find a way out, deliberately pull up counter scriptures. That's why reading the Bible every day is important. Hearing God's word daily is important. Pull up counter scriptures. You know, when those want to come, have you not read 1 Timothy 6 verse 6? That godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you not read the book of Luke chapter 12? That a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. You stay there and begin to think over those scriptures. You don't know what to think about again when money is haunting you. Think about the fact that you have a lot of blessings in Christ Jesus. And that the real blessing, eventually, is what you have in Christ. Don't just think, let it pass. Stay there. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Deliberately fix your mind and begin to meditate. Meditate to a point that you begin to voice it. Glory to God, I'm content. And you know one more thing to think about? The Lord supplies all your needs. It's a matter of time. I can do it right. I can do it big. Put it in your mind. Because if you don't do that, and you stir on that thought, you might finish thinking about it for like 15, 20 minutes and say, well, let it just go. Tomorrow it will come back. You think it again. What you're doing is that you're feeding that emotion till it gets to that point we call sulambano. Do you remember that? It takes hold of you and begins to drag you around like a small boy. You now begin to do foolish things you never thought you could do. And so when those thoughts jump into your heart, don't take the thoughts. How do you not take it? By meditation. By meditation. It might just be a simple thought that comes to your mind. Maybe you see, you know, a young girl or you see a young boy, and you know, with how spiritual you are, there are some people you see. You have to remind yourself that you are born again. Do you understand? Because you know the thing about this woman and man matter. Everybody have what they like, at least physically speaking. I get what I'm saying. There is, brothers now, there is a body structure you like. True or true? The thing is, it varies from people to people. Some will tell you, oh, I want slim. Others don't know what you are doing with slim. Why should a lady be slim? Now, the point is, these people you like exist. They are real. Sometimes they exist in the body, but you don't like their content, but they are there. Now, the problem is, even if you're married, you will keep seeing these people you like because the beautiful ones are not yet born. You will be seeing them. Now, that's some you see even as a single man. You stagger. She's not born again, but you stagger for some time. Say now, wow. As you stagger for some time. Now, it happens to everybody. Even sisters, forget all this pretense. There are some guys they see, they have to catch themselves. Amen. Am I speaking your language? You just find yourself and say, Jesus Christ, God the Creator. You know, a guy saw one girl, after looking at the girl, he just said, now, wow. And God still wants us to be monogamous. Now, you can see those things. The question is, will you now take the thought? You now start imagining. Taking the thought is the problem. I mean, you can so lust after this person that you can undress the person in your mind and sleep with the person in your mind. Yes. And that's the problem. When those thoughts come, don't take them. By the power of meditation, you are strengthening those thoughts. And if you strengthen them to a point, they will conceive. And once they conceive, it will take hold of you. That's what the Bible teaches. One of the things I said on Thursday that I wanted to forget, and I'm sitting in a recap actually. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that we have a sound mind. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. That God has not given it, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. I don't think it's first.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, you know, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Okay, and we're looking at that word, sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, yes. Sound mind. I would say that's the Greek word sophronismos. And sophronismos actually means self-discipline or discipline of the mind. That God has given us the power, the strength. What it means is that you have the strength to choose what happens to your mind and what stays there. What it simply means is that nothing can actually stay in your mind without your choice. So, King James said God has given us sound mind. NLT calls it this self-discipline. Self-discipline. So everybody can discipline their mind if you are conscious about it. Not everybody shall, every believer. Because God has given us. Amen. You can discipline your, you can refuse what you want to stay in your mind. We are talking about character now, but what I'm talking to you about affects everything in your Christian life. Even faith work. Believing God for finances. Sometimes I trust your God, I'm trusting that you're going to supply. The Satan is going to throw a thought at you. Trusting, it's not the same prayer I've been praying for the past 1 year. Forget that, and then you start thinking it. It's true. I've been praying this prayer. Satan just threw a thought at you. What are you going to do? If you take it, you are getting into doubt and worry. But if you bounce it back, and I tell you, one of the easiest ways to bounce back thoughts when they come is with words. Meditation should start with words. I like it starting with words, but it will eventually end with words. So I'm just thinking now, Satan just throws a thought at me now about, well, see this fine girl. Imagine, you know, if you go now and talk to this girl, she will agree. In fact, maybe you guys might not really date, but she should agree, make her run something. That's the time to open your mouth immediately and say, my body is not yielded to sin or iniquity. I yield my body to righteousness. Say it. You get the point? You must learn to talk. By the time you say it, begin to think over what you've said in your mind. Meditate on those scriptures. So, Satan throws a thought that you've been praying all this, and God is not answering. You think everything is prayer. You just open your mouth and say, this is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I know God hears me and He supplies my needs. You fight back those thoughts. But don't just say it. And when I don't say it, start ruminating over them. Start meditating. Turn it over. By meditation, you can plant things in your heart. So you see, as I put it this way, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on thee. That's Isaiah 26 verse 3. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you determine what stays in your mind. You determine what doesn't stay. The Bible tells us that, you know, it was the psalmist talking in Psalm 119. He says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. I think that was 11. Not so sure. Verse 11 or so. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Yes, that I might not sin against thee. So if you hide God's word in your heart, how do you hide God's word in your heart? By the power of meditation. If you hide it in your heart, you won't freely commit sin. So studying the word is what I'm dealing with now. I'm meditating on it. The next thing that is going to help you, I think we're getting into today now, that's going to help you stay very strong and not let sin take over your mind, of course, is your prayer life. Your prayer life, your fellowship with God, is one of the things that will strengthen. I'm not saying praying when you're tempted. Your constant fellowship with God helps you to take hold of your mind and not let the devil mess your mind up. Jesus said to Peter, I think that's Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus, you know, of course, informed Peter about the fact that he was going to be tempted. Satan wants to tempt him. Satan wants to sift him like wheat. Look at what he said to him. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. So prayer can help you stay from temptation. If you have a daily prayer life, this is December again. Another time to reevaluate how your prayer life has been this year and strengthen it. Do you have 30 minutes every day that you spend to study God's word and to pray? Do you have 1 hour every day? Watch and pray. So listen, the reason Peter denied Jesus was not because Jesus prophesied he would deny him. In fact, by Jesus telling Peter that he would deny him, he was not saying it because he wanted it to happen. Because if he wanted it to happen, he won't ask him to pray. He was just telling him what the devil has planned. Satan has planned to sift you as wheat. So Peter, see out and avert it. Stay in prayer. And that's why when he was going to Gethsemane, he took Peter along. 1 hour in prayer, Peter has slept. He came back and said, watch with me for 1 hour. Peter slept again. And so, listen, Peter denied Jesus because he didn't have a prayer life. But Peter was not sifted like wheat. You know what that means? In other words, that temptation did not get to its endpoint because Jesus prayed for him. Story for another day. But that's why when people get into sin, if we do not want that sin to drive them further into sin, into death, we should have a prayer life for them. So Jesus told Peter, the enemy has planned to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. So look at what I'm going to say. We can pray for you, for God to deliver you from what the enemy has orchestrated for your life. But for you not to get into temptation, you have to pray for yourself. It is your own personal fellowship with God that keeps you from temptations. Your own personal. So we cannot use our prayer to cover you, to cover what your prayer life should do for you. Is all following me this morning? Are you guys still here this morning? We can't use our prayer life to cover what your prayer should do for you. So when you have a daily 15 minutes with God, you can start with that. Because I'm not saying 10 hours every day. You can start with 20 minutes every day in your prayer life. Every day, set the alarm from 6:30 to 6:45. You just wake up and read your Bible and just pray. Father, we thank you for today. Just pray. I'll give you all those prayers you can pray. Pray every day. That fellowship with God becomes the base for your mind being sane. So you might know that I said prayer helps you keep a sound mind. You know, it keeps you sensitive to righteous promptings in your mind. Because you notice when you have a serious life of prayer, it's easy for you. You know, some of you really want to live right. But sometimes it is when you've committed sin that you remember that you shouldn't have committed it. Does it happen to you? Especially things that have to do with emotions. A driver just abuse you. Idiot. It's when you are done saying, is your father that is an idiot, that you now remember saying, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You've said it. Now, what one thing that keeps you very much aware spiritually is a solid prayer life. And so you are doing yourself some harm if you don't build a solid fellowship with God. Prayers will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from prayer. I say it again. It's either prayers keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from prayer. One thing continuing in sin does that is that it even robs you of confidence, the confidence you should have in prayer. Because notice that sin will not affect God. God's disposition towards you, it won't. But it will affect your own confidence. So if you continue committing, no matter how much light you have, that sometimes you say, let us pray. Even you are doubting whether God can hear you. Are you following me, friends? And so, a sinning Christian cannot be a praying Christian. And a praying Christian cannot be a sinning Christian. Now, I'm not saying that people that have a prayer life cannot sin or make mistakes. I'm saying a praying Christian cannot have a habitual lifestyle of sin. It's not possible. And a sinning Christian cannot claim to have an effective prayer life. Some things are very clear. It doesn't matter whether you come and tell us, you know, every night I pray for 18 hours. It's okay. But if you still have a continuous, consistent, unrepentant lifestyle of sin and you're not bothered about it, something is wrong. You are either not praying or you're not praying. You're not praying. Because when the hot, when the pot is hot, when the pot is hot, flies can just freely perch on it. So have a solid prayer life. It's one thing I will keep you. I've learned that my personal walk with God, my personal prayer life, and all of that is the foundation, is my base for living in holiness and true righteousness. What I'm telling you is, if I'd even think about anything, love walk, is easier to walk in forgiveness if you have a solid prayer life. When I see people that say, I can never forgive, I can swear they're not praying. They're not praying. I don't know how you have something in your heart against someone and you say you go to pray every 1 hour. 1 hour every day. Shaka baraka. Either you're not praying or you're just wasting your time. Because once you start shombro, once take nations for you, the Lord will tell you, forgive that sister first. Forgive that sister first. That's why I dare say, if a husband and a wife have quality prayer lives on their own, quarrels will not last in their home for one day. Because once you just switch to that prayer, God will begin to point it to you. My son, Shakara Batala, your wife. Then I said, God, forget my wife thing. The Lord wants to take over. I said, take over your wife first. You can fight it today. Then you go to pray again. He will bring it up again. Look at the point. If you keep praying, he will keep bringing it up. And it's a matter of time, you will yield to it. But if you don't go to prayer, if you don't have a solid prayer life, you won't even remember that anything is happening. You don't even feel anything. You can even get to the point of almost having a reprobate heart. So I don't send anything. I get to the point. And so, prayer. Your prayer life. Your prayer life. Then the next thing I'm going to say is to walk, that you must walk in the Spirit. So I've talked about meditating on God's word, controlling your mind. I've talked about prayer. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. You don't want to yield to the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us, walk in the, very simple formula, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple formula. Walk in the Spirit. Now, please, walk in the Spirit is different from be in the Spirit. We are already in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And in verse 9, he said, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So we are already in the Spirit. Is that clear? So the Bible is not asking believers to be in the Spirit. He says you should walk. In other words, you are in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you, and you live in God's Spirit. That's that union we're talking about at 30 days of life. Remember? That oneness. So you're already there. Now walk in it. What will that mean? That simply means to respond, to yield yourself to the Spirit. Now, that's a deliberate action. Deliberately yield yourself to God. And I tell you the simplest way to do that, deliberately do the word. Now, first, you stay away from all those influences. Secondly, you fight what comes to your mind, then deliberately begin to do the word. Where you see, you know, there's a question that I learn to ask myself every day. What word am I acting on today? What word am I acting on today? What word? Yield yourself to God. Deliberately do the word. What that means is, if the Bible says, do not lie, deliberately refuse to lie, even if you're still feeling like that. If the Bible says, do not, you know, give yourself to fornication, deliberately refuse to switch into fornication. It is walking in the Spirit. Because you know you're already in the Spirit, you are now walking in it. Deliberately. Deliberately. Not minding how you feel. Deliberately begin to practice the word. That was meant to walk in the Spirit. You know, in Romans chapter 6 verse 11, Paul said, reckon ye yourself dead to sin. Now, look at the order of how to deal with sin. Reckon ye yourself. Reckon. That word reckon, if you read NLT, NLT uses the word consider. In other words, begin to see yourself as though you are dead to sin and you are alive to God. So he didn't say you should die to sin. He said you should consider yourself dead. What that simply means is that every believer is dead to sin. No, we're looking at us on the first day, right? You're saying you died before you came into Christ. So see yourself this way. Step one. Next one in verse 12, he says, let not sin. So first there is reckon. The next thing is let not. So first the reckon is I must see myself like I'm dead to sin. Sin has no power over me. Now, deliberately refuse that sin will reign in your mortal body. Deliberately. That's where you now begin to set boundaries. That's where you get your phone, going back to where I started from, and delete some videos. That's why you deliberately refuse. Even if you feel like you let not sin reign, refuse that sin will reign.
Refuse. Refuse.
Are you following me? Refuse. What do you do next? Verse 13. Yield yourself to God. That's the next verse now. Come on, come on. Next verse. Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness, but yield yourselves unto God. So let's refuse to yield your members and now begin to yield yourself to God. So instead of yielding your body to sin, deliberately begin to practice righteousness. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Deliberately begin to practice righteousness. Deliberately begin to forgive. Even when you don't feel like, let's talk about love work now. Somebody has hurt you. And the thoughts that have come to your mind is to deal with this person, to revenge. Because revenge is a meal, best served cold. So I'm going to wait. After waiting, I'm going to do back. That's the thought. You now refuse to take the thought. You fight it. You fight it. You declare, I'm a love being. After those declarations, begin to walk in the Spirit. What do? Call the person. Pray for the person. You don't know what else to do. Gift the person. Sunday is coming now. It's Thanksgiving Sunday. Gift the person. I'm telling you, Satan will run far from your mind. You spend time praying for that person every day. I'm going to pray for this brother every day for 1 hour. There is nobody you pray for every day for 30 minutes or 1 hour for like 3 weeks that you still be angry with. It's not possible. But if after praying it doesn't work, give to the person. Satan doesn't like when people prosper. So go and buy maybe something very cool and give the person. I keep praying for the person. What you are doing is you are walking, you are deliberately walking in the Spirit. I learned this gives the person thing from Brother Hagin. Sometimes when there are ministries that write some crazy things about them and against them and all of that, so that at the end of the year, he will tell the office, package a seed, send to that ministry, send to this one. These are people that, so imagine you've been writing things against them and then just send you seed. We love you, we encourage you, we love what you are doing. You get the point. You say, you go reason, I say, I was wrong. What's the problem? Shout amen, somebody. I say, shout amen, somebody. So walk in the Spirit. Yield yourself to God. So what do? I will not yield my members as instrument of righteousness. I yield myself to God. So deliberately walk in the Spirit. What did he say in verse 14? He reminded you again in verse 14 that sin has no dominion over you. So yield yourself to God. Are you following me? Give me verse 19 because of our time. I want to deal with one more matter. Give me verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness and to holiness. The same way you've yielded your members to commit sin, the same way you used to, he said, now deliberately begin to yield these members now. Yield this tongue to speak righteousness. Yield this tongue not to tell a lie. And when you find out you've told a lie, return back and say, that thing I told you last time was a lie. I'm sorry. Yield your members. It's a deliberate thing. You know, why this is important again is that this is part of renewing your mind. Remember I've told you, your actions today will become your memory tomorrow. And the major part of your mind is memory, Abby. The things you do. Are you following me? A major part of your mind are your memories. If you sit down like this, you are either imagining what has not happened or you are remembering what has happened. True or false? Now, if you keep practicing righteousness, keep walking in the Spirit, these things will begin to feel when you think of what happened last week, you are remembering all the times you walked in love and all that. Yours. What is happening is you're also renewing your mind. But if every time you think about the past, you are remembering how you fought, how you slapped somebody, how you did this, because that's what we now found guilt in your heart. You're remembering how you killed that person, how you slept with that girl, how you did this. That said, I will now bounce on it. You see, you're a very bad person. You will just continue that way. But imagine you think back yesterday and remember how that girl said, I want to come and visit you. And you already know. And if this girl comes to visit you, that something is going to go wrong. And you tell the girl, sister, don't come to my house. Have you ever been tempted clearly like this and you won? Anybody? As in, clearly, for instance, in the area of immorality, the guy has said, I'm coming, or come and see. You said you want to go, but you stood your ground and you said, I'm not going to do it.
If you have ever won this kind of temptation, any time you remember it, you feel proud of yourself. Does it happen to you? You feel so proud of yourself. That's the same way you will, the opposite of that is what you will feel when you yield to that sin. Every time you remember it, you're like, I messed up, Shah. That day. What is happening is, Satan is using your memory to haunt you. But if you have many good deeds, so begin to yield yourself to God. Begin to deliberately walk in the Spirit. Deliberately walk in the Spirit. Because your actions today become your memories tomorrow. Are you getting blessed? So when you are standing in front of a temptation, walk away. The thing about it is, you can actually say no to those things. There is the reborn spirit that lusteth after righteousness. I get to the point. There is the reborn spirit that desireth righteousness. And it's working inside of you. That's who you are now. So you can actually say no to those things pulling you. Gradually walk away from them. It's no longer like before. When you couldn't. Now you can walk away from them. You can say no to those things. Because one of the lies the devil will tell you is to make you feel like you cannot say no to those things. That's the lie. And I'm meant to tell you the real truth. There is something working in you now. You can actually say no to those things. You can say no to those. And I'm telling you practically. And if you think very well, there are some temptations that you've faced in the past that you conquered. If you think very well. Now, those things you conquered should remind you and let you know that there is nothing you cannot say no to. It's not just you. Don't just say, this is just me. This is how I am. I always do this. You don't always do that. You can say no to those things. Are you following what I'm saying? You can. To start with, God can never give you any instruction that He has not empowered you to do. Before God gives an instruction, it's because He knows you can do it. It's only wickedness to tell someone to do what you know the person cannot do. And God is not wicked. It's not wicked. It's only wicked. Just imagine me looking at a brother in this church as I have a mandate for you. Next year, I want you to give birth to a child. I'm talking to a brother. Say, okay, me and Ashikan say, no, I don't sleep to anybody. I want you to carry a baby in your stomach or your womb or anything and birth the child. He will look very stupid. Is this pastor mad? What kind of instruction is that? Why? Because he doesn't have the ability to do that. Now, if I insist that he should do that, I'm just being wicked. Just like those seniors in secondary school that will draw a car on the board and ask you to push it to the other place. Did they ever do that to you? Or did you ever do that to somebody? I said, if it's me, I'll just use dust to clean that car. Go and throw it to another place. Say, senior, it has moved. What is happening? They are demanding of what is impossible. That's not how God is. So if God is saying you should walk in righteousness, it's because He knows you can. If He's saying you should flee immorality, it's because He knows you can. So deliberately begin to walk in the Spirit. Are you following me this morning? Yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to God. Walk in the Spirit. It's not far from you. It's actually within your reach. It's actually working inside of you. The Bible said He has made us partakers of the divine nature. What that means is that the sin nature is no longer working inside of us. We now carry the divine nature. In that nature lies the ability to do the will of God. So you can actually do those things. You can walk in the Spirit. Amen. As I begin to wind down today, there are certain things that the flesh will throw at you. I'll give you three. That the flesh throws at people. And every young person here, please listen to me. Because it is more on us. There are three of them. Give me 1 John 2 verse 16. 1 John 2 verse 16. Let's read together, everybody. Did you guys forget yourself? Let's go now. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. So there are three things. Number one is what? Lust of the flesh. Then lust of the eye. And pride of life. These three things, the devil or the flesh,
flesh wants to use to hold you down. And I'm just going to share and admonish you to watch out for this. Because there are three areas that the flesh uses to hold people and drag them. So give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic refers to lust. It said the lust of the flesh. What does it call it? Craving for sensual gratification. Sensual things that appeal to your sense. Majorly, it's talking about sexual immorality there. Not sensual immorality, I mean sexual immorality. That's one of the major things that the devil will launch at believers to mess with their mind. Is one area the flesh wants to control you. Are you following me, friends? What was it that messed Samson up? Lust of the flesh. Inability to control and to contain his sexual appetites. Did you observe everybody Samson ever fell in love with at every time was a strange woman? Either a harlot, even Delilah was a harlot, a Philistine. Somehow, he didn't realize that you're supposed to have a control. I'm not saying that you cannot like, let me even use the word, fall in love with who you are not meant to fall in love with. But you mustn't respond to that. That's what is called control. I'm not saying that as a young man, you cannot see a fine girl and feel something in your body. But you cannot let your erection give you direction. I get the point. It's not just rhyme. For real, you shouldn't let erection give you direction. I'm not saying you cannot come, but you must have that control. Look at that. Craving for sexual gratification. That's why I'm going, I was talking to the men last year. If you're a man of last year, I was talking to you about why you must avoid strange women. Do you remember that? Avoid strange women. I'm going to tell the women, avoid strange men. And by that statement, we mean anybody that is just there, just to awaken all your sexual appetites. Anybody that is around you who doesn't see anything wrong with just meddling with sin and with sexual sin. Solomon warned again and again. But let me show you some scriptures. Proverbs 2 verse 16. You have to be fast. There are many scriptures about this. Proverbs 2 verse 16. 16. Hallelujah. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Even from the stranger. But let's give me NLT. From the strange woman and from the stranger. NLT calls it, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman. From the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. Give me chapter 5 from verse 1. Proverbs 5 from verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my counsel, to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Strange women. Immoral men. That come around you. It's one of the things Satan will send. One of the major laws the devil uses to hold people down. Give me verse 20. Verse 20. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman, or fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? Hallelujah. Chapter 7, verse 4. I wish I had more time. Chapter 7, verse 4. Maybe you've went to that teaching. It's titled, When Strength is Not Enough. When Strength is Not Enough. It says, love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Verse 5. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman. From listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. This man kept counseling his son almost throughout the book about immoral women. Just like a father or a mother will sit with the daughter and still counsel her that same way. Are you following me? Chapter 22 verse 14. Chapter 22 verse 14. The mouth of an immoral woman is a dangerous trap. Those who make the Lord angry will fall into it.
Glory to God. You know, Proverbs 7 is an entire chapter dedicated to an immoral woman. Proverbs 7 from verse 1. I wish you had them. The entire chapter. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect from an affair with an immoral woman and all of that. Verse 6. Verse 6. While I was at the window, he began to tell a story. While I was at the window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. You see what is happening? That is the house of an immoral woman. He was going there. He couldn't restrain. Of course, before then, he has thought about it, that he was now dragging him around. Next verse. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. Never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You are the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. Oh, my bed is spread. Come on, go back there. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not home. So she was married. She was married. What if she didn't care? He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. The Bible said he lacked common sense. He followed her at once, like an ox going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. Verse 24, I just want to run. Next verse. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your heart stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path. For she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. And I'm saying this to ladies too. There are bedrooms that are den of death. Every time you are drifting into immorality, just know that the devil is actually taking you farther than you want to go. I'm going to say this to you. There is the lust of the flesh. It comes at all of us. You must consistently resist that lust with everything I've taught you. Don't feed the lust. Start from there. Don't feed it. Don't feed it through movies. Don't feed it through books. Don't feed it through conversations. Resist it. And when it drops into your mind, don't meditate on it. Don't take the thought. Fight that thought with everything in you, with God's word. And deliberately walk in the spirit. What that means is there are calls you shouldn't be picking. There are conversations you don't entertain. There are things when you guys begin to talk too long for no reason. And you know where it is going to. Every 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., what are you wearing? Every 11 p.m., what are you wearing? How are you dressed? What are you doing? What am I wearing? So how are you doing? So are you fine? Say yes. What are you wearing? What did you eat? What are you wearing now? Show me. Every time. Start dragging you to somewhere. Are you still here this morning? Should I continue preaching? I give you to somebody. Fight it. Lust of the flesh. Are you following me, friends? Lust of the flesh. it will take you farther than you want to go. There are many things to say. But she destroys strong men. If you are married, and when you are married, stick to your wife, stick to your husband. And if you feel you can't control yourself, then get married. Now, I'm not speaking from my head. It's the Bible instruction. Not Old Testament, New Testament. Paul said it is better to marry than to born. Are you following me, friends? But if you are not married and as you are waiting to get married, please contain your emotions. Contain that lust. Don't let it take over. It can drive you foul. It can make someone travel from here to Abuja. From here to Abuja. It can make a man broke. Because all the money you've been sending to young girls to come and visit you, you would have started a business by now. Yeah. This is a man crying that the economy is bad. He's barely trying to survive, but then once he picks more money, he's chatting with one girl on Facebook. Say, come and see me now. Yes, I don't have transport fare. So they don't ever have transport fare. Strange women. You don't have transport fare. Okay. Are you sure you will come? He said, what kind of question is that? He said, you send the money. Now, whether she comes or not is a different matter. But the point is that you are going broke. For 7 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes pleasure, even 30 minutes pleasure, even 2 hours pleasure. It's not worth it. Are you following me, friends? The lust of the flesh. Proverbs 5 and verse 15. Solomon gave instructions. Proverbs 5 verse 15. Give me like NLT. I wanted to read this on NLT, but then let's go to NLT straight. Drink water from your own well. What does that mean? Share your love only with your wife. Verse 16. Why spill the water of your springs in the street, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Verse 19. She's a loving dear, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Verse 20. Why be captivated by son, by an immoral woman? Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. What this message should bring is not condemnation, it is correction. It's readjustment. Because this lust of the flesh, this one. But I'm going to do a full teaching on this particular verse, John 2:16. Because these are three areas where the devil comes to, where the flesh is fully manifest. Then, of course, that is lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. Get back to John 2:16. Give me Amplified Classic. Lust of the eye. He calls it the greedy longings of the mind. The greedy longings of the mind. I can simply call that materialism. Love for material things. Money. These are three areas that the devil is... And by the time I'm done, you see, young people, this is actually what is driving everybody. Immorality. Money. Greedy longings of the mind. You want to have the biggest houses. You want to buy the best things. You want to use, if iPhone this is out, you want to use it. Nothing is wrong with wanting those things. But then it begins to drag you so far. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I was talking to a couple just this 2 days ago. You know, my wife and I told them, I said, whatever we don't have, we can't afford now. We don't actually like it. And that's how I consider anything I can't, I don't like it. You just think I don't like it until I have money to buy it, I'll go and buy it. As long as we used to joke with it, we might be driving across, maybe and see one fine car like that. And my wife would just say, look at this nonsense car. I say, yes, rubbish car. It's not even fine. It's just a way of, you know, don't start desiring. Have you seen many nonsense cars this morning? Very, very stupid cars that are just like, rubbish. But then the money will come. What is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. And that's the principle. And that is the logic. The things you don't have now, don't let it drive you too far. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In fact, give me the next verse of this 1 Timothy 6. The next verse. It says, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Paul is teaching us contentment here. Go ahead. We brought nothing, we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. What it means is, if you have food today, you have clothes today, be okay. It doesn't mean settle for less. It doesn't mean don't have big dreams. It means do not let the quest and the desire for more drive you farther than you want to go. How do you know you are losing it? When your love for money does not mind compromise. It doesn't mind stealing. It doesn't mind hurting people. Then you are losing it. When your love for money, when you find yourself, compare yourself with people. Because some of you are actually not broke. You began to feel broke because you saw how much your neighbor had. You were okay until, and that's why the Bible said, comparing yourself with themselves, they're not wise. You know, we're having marriage class this last week, and I told them, and I said it every time we have marriage class to anybody. I said to them, see, money has broken many homes. But it's not actually lack of money that breaks homes. It is attitude towards money. And I gave them about four of those attitudes. One of them is this thing we're dealing with, lack of contentment. If you are not contented, your home will not make it. Woman or man, especially women. Because what it means, no matter what your husband does for you, it will never be okay. Never. Are you following what I'm saying? So, people's homes do not break up because they are broke. Their homes break up because they are not content. There are two things we are dealing with on that Friday. One is two attitudes. We are looking at generosity and contentment. And I made a statement. I've never made that statement. It just came from my spirit and, you know, I wrote it down. I said, generosity and contentment are two big virtues that you need in marriage, in any relationship. But the secret is this. The lack of one will frustrate the other. For instance, if two people are married and one is the man or the woman, one is very generous, but the other person lacks contentment. In other words, whatever you give her is not okay for her. Very soon, your own generosity will be frustrated. Then, if the other one is very content, but the other person is very stingy, even contentment will be frustrated. I get what I'm talking about. The lack of one frustrated. So even if you are trusting God, Father, I need a man or a woman who is very generous. Cultivate contentment. If not, anything they give you will not be okay. It will not be okay. Don't let it drive you. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Next verse. But they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He's not preaching against being rich. He's saying there that by the time you find out that you want to do everything to have money, you are overtaken, sulambano, you are taken away by that passion for money. Many temptations. Many foolish and hurtful lusts. Give me an answer of this verse. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. That crazy quest, I want it by all means. You do terrible things. Terrible things. Terrible things. Verse 10. I'm going to verse 10 actually. Verse 11 is what I'm going to, but look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So you see the context of this verse. It's not saying you should not want to make money. The context is lack of contentment. While some converted after they have erred from the faith, they pierce themselves with many sorrows. And I tell you, a quest to be rich will pierce you with many sorrows. Time will just show you. Many sorrows. You will end up regretting. You might have the money, but many regrets. Many regrets. Some have, apart from doing blood money or doing whatever, some have even sacrificed their family. Time that you're supposed to spend with your loved ones or your family, you abandon everything. And then you are trying to make money. After all, I'm sending money to the children. They should be okay with that. You think it's money the children want? Sometimes they want your time. Sometimes they want to spend 30 minutes with daddy every night when he comes back. But no, you're not around. You're jumping from place to place because you really want to blow. One day you are going to blow. But after you blow, your home would have blown up. And you see that there are many sorrows that come with it. Many sorrows. I wish somebody would tell me of these young boys who said, who are in HKs or wherever looking for money, that in 15 years' time, they will regret not going to school. They will regret abandoning school to go and make money. It's a matter of time. And they will, some of them will say, they go to school, sha. They will wish they took their studies more seriously. They wish that a lot of things were different. It will pierce with many sorrows. Now, verse 11 is my instruction to you. But thou, O man of God, flee. What are these things say you should flee? Love of money, right? That's the context. Flee these things. Flee them, but follow after. That's the same thing Paul was saying. Do not yield yourself to this. Yield yourself to that. So don't yield yourself to all this is mentioned. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. When I come to this verse, I'm going to explain, but not now. Because all these things are things you follow after instead of love of money. Righteousness. That quest to do things right. Godliness. Faith. Trusting God for supply. Love. When you love people, you won't hurt them to take from them. Then, what does he mention? Patience. Patience is knowing that what is not available today will be available tomorrow. Is someone following me this morning? Don't yield yourself. So, lust of the eyes. Of course, the right next one is the pride of life. So go back to the Give Me Amplified Classic. The pride of life. That's 1 John 2:16. Amplified Classic. You know, it refers to it as assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of a little thing. Simply put, pride. Pride in the things that you have. These are the thoughts the devil will launch out against believers. What that's one thing of flesh. Pride. 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 You think you are something. So watch against these three things. Watch against immorality. Watch against materialism. Watch against pride. Even in ministry, watch against pride. God is going to take you far. Watch your heart. The Bible tells us God resists the proud. God resists the proud. That scripture scares me. James 4 verse 6. God resists. You know what that was? Once you become a proud person, God not going to put hand for you. Now, what do you mean? He won't assist you. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Stay humble. Because you see, all these are interconnected. Why do people even want to make money at all costs? Most times, it's for their pride. So that when I show up now, they're going to say, we don't arrive. Pride. And that's why any small achievement, we carry ourselves, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know, I saw a skit like that, where a man got to the airport and was trying to, you know, the ticket person was trying to say, you know, you came late. He said, this is a business class ticket. He said, I know, we can actually arrange something. He said, oh, don't tell me anything. Do you know who I am? And the lady said, oh, I forgot. So she just called everybody, excuse me, everyone. There's a young man here who doesn't know who he is. Because for real, who are you again? Even in ministry. You prayed for blind eyes and blind eye open. And that's why you can't usher in church again. Because fire is burning in your head. That fire will burn you up very soon. Very soon. I was talking to my wife about this earlier this morning. Some people, they come to me and say, I don't want to do this. If it's this job, if that is in church, there is nothing you should want to do or should not want to do. Stay humble. You know, recently when I'm planning for away, God said to me, I want you to get back to the streets, get back to all these universities and all of that, and begin to, it's just like, some of you that are following those things, just like doing a very fresh work. And you know, one of the things is, I'm not going to go there as Pastor Henry. Of course, we've been going there. Just go there as going there. Now, some people can become too big that they're even too proud to go down to the roots, to the basics if they have to. Because you have 50 members. You become too proud. That's why small men has entered your, nobody can even counsel you again. Small thing, we ask you to sit down here. You say, no, I won't sit there because of how much? Pride of life. These three things. I strongly believe if a man watches against, if a man is not driven by immorality, not driven by materialism, and not driven by pride, that man will make it in life very well. He will live a very mature life. Because these are the three things driving a lot of young men, a lot of young women. Resist that temptation. Flee from it. Shut down the sources of these three things. Whatever that is feeding your lust of the flesh, shut it down. I'm going back to where I started. As a way of closing. Whatever that is feeding your lust of the eye, this desire for materialism, shut it down. Whatever that is feeding your pride, shut it down. Then when thoughts of immorality comes to your mind, fight it. When thoughts of materialism comes to your mind, fight it. When thoughts of pride, do you know who you are? Look at all the things you've achieved. Shut it down. Fight those thoughts. And then walk in the spirit. Do the word. Act against all of this. When there is a pressure to get into immorality, act against it. Walk the opposite of the opposite direction. Walk the opposite direction. When they want you to go visit that boy, refuse. Go to church. Glory to God. And do everything that will keep you away from those things. Make calls. Say, Dad, good evening. I just want to say that there is a lady that said she wants to come to my house now, and I want to send it to the person cannot come again. Have you not observed? Amen. Sometimes the devil, and you know what I found out? Thank you, Holy Ghost. When you are actually sincerely willing to live free from these things, God will aid you. Yes, and I want to close with that finally. God will aid you. The Bible said something. There is no temptation that comes to us that we cannot conquer. And I want to say to someone, when you are sincerely willing to move on from these things, not to yield to this thing, God himself will aid you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. What that simply means is that every temptation that has ever come to you is what is obtainable within the realm of men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Look at my emphasis. But will with the temptation always also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So every temptation that is coming, if you sincerely don't want to yield, God is going to make a way of escape. You know, a young man, a pastor, a story I heard. There was this young girl that was always coming to his office, and he was married though, but then his mind has already followed, he liked the girl. And the girl obviously knew what she wanted. She wanted a piece of him in bed. And he did everything to fight it. Stop picking calls and all of that. I think what maybe he didn't do was tell the wife. But he did everything. But the thing was still there. So when the whole thing was already taking over him, he decided to shut down everything and told the wife, I want to travel for a retreat. So he traveled out of the country for a personal alone time with God for a few weeks. And then the girl heard it, that pastor is not around. And she booked her flight and traveled to the same place and called him. Said, Pastor, I heard you are in this country. Guess what? I just came. Away from Nigeria, away from your family, now we can have a good time. I would have thought the man of God would say, send me your hotel. He sent the hotel address. I'm telling you, he knelt down at the time. He said, God, please, don't let this lady get here. But let me say exactly how he put it. I don't like saying how he put it because it's not actually very scripturally correct. But he said, Father, if you don't want to lose another son, don't let this lady get here. Because if this girl come here, you lose your son. And he was praying seriously. And that's the level of the spirit is willing. And trust me, the girl didn't get there. Let me not tell you the other details. So you don't think God is wicked, but she didn't get there. She didn't get there. I feel, and I'm saying it, if you really want to do it right, God will always show you a way of escape. Have you not observed that immediately you are preparing to go and visit that boy or for that girl to come, there's always this call. Why is this that a pastor is calling me? That's a word of escape there to just say your mind. Why did that sell it? I just had to say, I'm coming to your house. So, why are you coming to my house? Today I've planned that somebody is coming. God is making a wolf escape. Someone follow what I'm talking about. When that pressure for pornography to watch it comes, you begin to hear, why not pray? You hear, pray. Pray about this. Read your Bible. A call may even come in. Deception may come in. If you are smart, notice the word of escape and run from there. Run from there. So when you find these things coming, when pride is creeping into you, that you are beginning to feel you are something, shut down that thought. Everything we hear, God made us. So whatever I think I am, what I'm proud for, I know God gave me. So I stay humble. Romans 12 verse 3 says we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So I think of myself as God has made me a new man in Christ Jesus, righteous in Christ Jesus. Not giving room to the flesh, not giving room to pride. I will stay submitted to spiritual authority. I will stay submitted to men. I will not let the devil creep into my heart. You fight it. 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 Give no room to the flesh. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Were you blessed today? Do you want to pray some more? I'll give you just 3 minutes. Stand to your feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, I said it again, this doesn't call for any kind of condemnation. It calls for reassessment. It calls for correction. It calls for readjusting your life. So spend your time, lift your voice, pray in the Holy Ghost, whatever you are. I want to hear you pray, 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 pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Just 3 minutes. I don't want you to play with it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The choir did a song. They said, I will obey you. I will obey you. I will trust you. I will obey you. I will trust you. That should be your heart cry this morning. Yield yourself. Just pray. Just 3 minutes. If there's an area of struggle, there is a supply of strength right now. If there's an area of struggle, there's a supply of strength right now, even as you're praying. There is help. There is help. There is help. God doesn't send his word to condemn us. He sends his word to help us. There is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that helps us. That helps us. And I will trust you. Pray like that. You have 1 more minute. Lift your hands. Say, my body is your sanctuary. We're going to declare who God has made us this morning. My body is your sanctuary. You purified me like gold. Sing it. You purified me like gold. Yes.
So that I'll be bold to say my body.
Yes.
Is your sanctuary.
You know, a part of this, the original version of this song says that God should purify us like gold. But then we read from God's word that has purified us. So what we are doing this morning is that we are affirming, we are reckoning, we are looking at ourselves as God has made us. He has purified us like gold. So we can boldly say that our body has become his sanctuary. We can boldly say that. We can boldly say And as a sanctuary, we can boldly say that we can walk as He has made us. We can talk as He has made us. We can act as He has made us. Glory to God. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. Add your voice to this. My body sing.
My body.
Yes.
Is your sanctuary.
My body is your sanctuary.
My body.
We are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Is your sanctuary.
You purify me like gold. More times, my body is your sanctuary.
My body,
sing like you know what they are saying.
Is your sanctuary.
My body is your sanctuary.
My body
is your sanctuary.
Is your sanctuary.
You purified me like gold.
Now I can be bold.
Yes, 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 yes. One last time. My body is your sanctuary. Come on, sing it.
My body.
Hey, Amanda La Prada.
Your sanctuary.
My body is your sanctuary.
My body is your sanctuary.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Glory to God. How many of you believe that your body is God's temple and you are aligning yourself? I'm aligning myself to what God has made me. Same as I don't yield my body, I don't yield my members as an instrument of sin. Say my body, say it again, say my body is yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness only. Say my body is not yielded as an instrument of sin. So I yield my members to do God's will alone, to do God's bidding alone, to walk in the Spirit as God has made me. I yield my members as an instrument of righteousness. Glory to God. Are you blessed today? Hallelujah. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.